Stick your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN News. Heck, even on your smart speakers. Did you know you can just ask your smart speakers to play ESPN Radio, and they'll get you right to us? So make sure you do that. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. Get you started with the headlines that you need to know. Philip Rivers sort of knows what's next. I mean, how often do you say, like, the old adage of the five-year business plan might just have all gone to hell for so many of us right now? I understand that. But Philip Rivers has a pretty good idea of what's next for him after his time with the Colts is done. He was named the head football coach in waiting at St. Michael Catholic High School on Friday. Rivers, though, won't officially take over as the coach of the team, located, by the way, in Fairhope, Alabama, until he retires from the NFL. So, whenever that may be, he will be the coach in waiting. I've never heard of such hoopla for a coach in waiting in a high school. But either way, Philip Rivers knows what's coming next. The NFL might not know what's coming next specifically with the timing, but they do have flexibility. Even though we got the schedule released last night, one important note is, according to Adam Schefter, there's a great article on ESPN.com talking about that fact that the schedule was released, but there is some significant opportunity to pull levers the league may need to pull tied around the Super Bowl if they need any scheduling help. There's at least a premise right now that the Super Bowl could be backed up weeks, if not months, potentially, without having to make significant changes to the regular season schedule. So any games that could be postponed at the beginning of the year could be tacked on at the end as they simply move the Super Bowl to later in the year. Looks like there's some flexibility there. We'll keep an eye on that. There's not a lot of flexibility from the NCAA. They've responded to Kansas. Remember, they accused Kansas of several violations in regards to the Adidas shoe scandal that has been such a conversation of late. Well, Kansas responded, and now the NCAA has responded to their response. And the words are serious here. They call it, quote, egregious and severe rules violations that, quote, significantly undermine and threaten the NCAA college model. They also allege that Jayhawks coach Bill Self and assistant Curtis Townsend, quote, embraced, welcomed, and encouraged Adidas employees and consultants to influence high-profile basketball recruits with Kansas. So the NCAA ready to lay down the law with Kansas. We'll see what that means moving forward. Those are your headlines. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you guys to chime in. Which NFL game are you most excited about? The schedule is out. Which game are you most excited about? I'm excited about the satisfying crunch of Nature Valley Crunchy Bars that can keep your family going. And with whole grain oats and real delicious honey, it's really tasty too. Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Bars. So let's get some of your take on the game you're most excited about on the NFL schedule. Joel in Toronto, what do you got? What game are you most pumped for?
I love Nature Bar Crunchy Bar too, but that first Sunday when you can sit down and watch that first aired football game, I do not care who's on television. That's the one I'm excited for. It means football's back and I'm excited for it.
Look, you know, you make a really good point, by the way. Every year they give us a Thursday night matchup that usually involves the Super Bowl. We know that. So this year we get Texans Chiefs as our Thursday night matchup. Two teams that are expected to be pretty good, although the Chiefs open as a huge favorite. I've never understood why they do that. What I would personally do if I was the NFL is give us the worst game of the entire. We're so starved for football by the opening Thursday of the season. That's the time to put in your Jags versus whoever game. The game nobody's going to want to watch or care about, that's the one you put in Thursday night because we will all be so pumped for that first weekend. Make it a burner weekend. Get the bad games out of the way. Kevin in Florida, what do you got? What game are you most excited about?
Ooh, I'm a lifelong Chiefs fan. I know that hurts your heart, but November 29th is Tampa Bay. I live right outside of Tampa Bay, and I get to see Brady versus Mahomes again. So week 12, that's the big one. I'm all on fire about that game.
Look, and you're right. It hurts my heart, but I'll say this. At some point, you just got to tip a hat, and whether it's as a fan or as an analyst, as an employee, whatever, you just have to tip your hat and say, we're going to watch something special. This Chiefs team, I think, is going to be something special to watch again this year, and while that obviously makes life difficult for my beloved Raiders, I got nothing but respect for it, that game is going to be spectacular by that point of the year because it means so much. Gary in San Antonio, what game are you most pumped for?
I'm most pumped for the Chiefs versus Bills. I'm also a diehard Chiefs fan repping the kingdom. The reason I'm looking forward to that matchup is because if you look at the roster that the Bills have, it's very similar to the ones that the Chiefs have. You know, you got Dawson Knox, you got Devin Singletary, they added Stephon Diggs. I mean, they were a gritty, rough team last year. I don't feel like they had enough weapons. I'm going to be interested to see how they stack up against us. Plus, Bills Mafia versus Chiefs Kingdom. Bring it on.
Look, that's going to be a great game, and you're right. The Bills, again, the NFL Nation guys went out and predicted a win-loss record based on the schedule for every team. They've got the Bills, Ravens, and Chiefs all going 12-4. That's according to our NFL Nation guys. And that's how good people believe the Bills are going to be. And we've spent so long sleeping on the Bills. In general, they were a better football team than they got credit for being last year. Josh Allen took a step forward. He still needs to take an even bigger step forward, but there's no excuses for him not to. He has great weapons around him. If Josh Allen can respond, the Bills should be great this year. Not just good, the Bills should be great. So I continue to look at the Bills. Any of these matchups against the Bills, if you're a fan that just sits there and every year pencils in a W for your favorite team against the Bills, take a second and think long and hard about that, because the Bills are a team that should be set up to win double-digit games this year without question. Let's get to, we'll get more of your take in just a second. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get more of your take on which NFL game you're most excited about. But I got to get to some Straight Talk here, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And that comes in the form of a little bit of NBA debate. Max and Stephen A. today had the debate on First Take about whether the Clippers or Lakers will be more ready after this break to come in and maximize their teams.
When you look at the Clippers, that's fine, and I'll leave that to Max, I think. It depends on who he's going to pick. But here's my mentality about the Los Angeles Lakers. It's not about the number of players who will be ready. It's about who matters. And who matters is LeBron James. Now, you could make the argument about Kawhi Leonard because there's no load management to lean on. Obviously, he's getting plenty of rest. He's received plenty of rest, unfortunately, because of this coronavirus pandemic. But at the end of the day, I'm trusting LeBron James. I'm trusting his experience. I'm trusting his brilliance. I'm trusting his work ethic. And I'm trusting his postseason experience. You can sit up there and debate all you want to about LeBron James being 35 years of age. Consider the fact that he missed the playoffs the previous year, comes back this year, is a top two candidate, arguably the leading candidate for league MVP, honest. And then now you're going to be coming back with additional rest on that 35-year-old body in its 17th NBA season. You combine that with the fact that the man is about 2 years removed from going to 8 straight NBA finals, for crying out loud. And what do you have? You have a person that's incredibly knowledgeable about what it takes physically to have yourself primed and ready to go. I trust LeBron James, and I trust the impact that he's going to have on his teammates, including Anthony Davis and others, more so than anything else. That's why I say the Lakers.
The answer is the Clippers. If there were regular season games, I would agree with you, Stephen A., but you talk about it's LeBron who needs to be ready to go. LeBron is more a facilitator now than he's ever been in the past. He's really a point guard this season. And what he's done brilliantly, because the Lakers have the best record in the Western Conference, since the beginning of the season, is get the guys on the same page, is establish a rhythm and chemistry. Even when Kawhi got him, you know, opening night, the whole, you know, and not to mention Christmas, even then, I did have the thought, LeBron, when we, and you were talking, and I was talking about how passive LeBron was in certain respects about the challenge of Kawhi, but that's because Kawhi is the scorer. Kawhi has one job on the Clippers. LeBron's job is really orchestrator, and he had to make sure that his guys, and he even did this to a lesser extent with the Cavs and the Heat at times in the regular season in the past, he had to make sure the guys he was going to rely on were ready to go in the moment of truth. And that takes a lot of work as a point guard and point forward, whatever, and the chemistry and the rhythm was set, which is why they were peaking when this thing went away, when social distancing occurred. They had just beaten the Bucks and the Clippers. They were peaking right then. It took a lot of work to get to that level, even though they'd had the best record most of the season. But to get to that level took some time. So if there was regular season games, I would agree with you, Stephen A., because it would give LeBron enough kind of runway to get ready for the playoffs. But if we come back and it's just playoff basketball, that half-court Clippers, Kawhi, Paul George, Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams. By the way, Shannon is going to be able to hit the three no matter what. He's just a shooting fool, right? Like, if not, he's not going to need a lot of runway. Lou Williams is going to get buckets regardless. He doesn't need all this runway to be able to score. Lou Williams was born scoring. Patrick Beverley is going to be able to play defense and hit the outside shot when you need him to. And Paul George and Kawhi Leonard's games are less reliant on the kind of interdependency of the team than what LeBron brings, and therefore what his complementary pieces are relying upon. So if we start with playoffs, this helps the Clippers. who get the rest for a team that has not been able to play their two best players together enough this season.
That's some Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. And I agree that they get rest for their two players that they haven't been able to get on the court together, but I think we're shifting the argument there. I mean, much of the praise for the Clippers roster has been that they have so much depth that they can beat anybody in the playoffs because depth is such a matter, such an issue in playoff basketball. Will it be this year? I mean, everybody's had the chance to rest and get ready. So is a 7-game series really going to wear you down the same way? I don't think so. So I think this helps the Lakers, who were a star-studded roster, top to bottom, we all knew, but we questioned the depth along the way. That never turned out to be an issue through the NBA season. And now on top of that, they get rest. So I have no problem with saying that the Lakers get more of a benefit out of this. That's some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Tune in to The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. That's this weekend. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby. That's immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Go get that podcast if you can. I'll tell you, it's not just a recap of what you saw. It's a recap with even more perspective around what the guys remember from that era and sort of what they lived through around it, too. So a really cool opportunity to get some perspective on the NBA, The Last Dance, and everything else that's all good in the world. We're now joined by Waddle and Sylvie's Mark Silverman. Sylvie, ESPN Chicago. And before we get to any of the stuff that doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, you obviously on air revealed to the audience last month that you have non-Hodgkin lymphoma. How's your health, my friend? Are you doing okay?
Fitz, great to talk to you. Yeah, so far so good. Been really optimistic. I've been feeling strong. Other than getting diagnosed, I didn't have any other symptoms except for, you know, just swelling of the lymph nodes. So, you know, I've got a clinical trial going. I started that yesterday. And then in 2 weeks from today, my chemo starts. So I've reached out and I've networked. And obviously we've talked about the V Foundation for so many years on ESPN and in our show, and we've raised money. And I'm just thankful that we've made all this progress to where we're at this point right now, and I'm feeling really good about it. So, you know, my phrase has been, we got this, and that's the way I'm feeling going into it.
Well, God knows that you absolutely have a support group like no other with your audience, but also with so many of us at ESPN. And, man, it was just hearing our thoughts and prayers and anything we can all do. You know, we're here for you. There's no easy way to transition from, like, something that serious to sports, but we're going to have you talk about The Last Dance because I want your perspective,
sure.
You know. So far what you've seen from The Last Dance, what's really stood out to you?
You know, and I covered Michael. So, I grew up with Bulls season tickets. My family had Bulls season tickets since 66, 67 when they were in existence. So no one can ever call me a bandwagon jumper. We were there in the days of, you know, well before the cocaine circus. And through some of the lean years before Michael even got there. And then I was fortunate where I covered the Bulls from 95 to 98, basically from when he returned through the last championship. And even though I knew he was petty, and I love Michael, just the spotlight on how he just, as great as he was, as hard as he worked, how he just needed the fuel for whether it was the Isaiah Thomas grudge or the grudges about Tony Kukoc because Jerry Krause loved him or that Dan Majerle was loved by Jerry Krause. It's just amazing that the greatest in the world, just always needed that fuel to get him to the next level or the next championship or the next win. And that's the thing that stood out to me. And, you know, that as great as he is, Fitz, as a basketball player, and as great as he is as an athlete and a winner, that he just needed that motivation. And that he's, just like us, he's flawed just like anybody else. So I think that's what stood out to me the most. And I love him for it, but it's obviously there.
Well, with that flaw, I mean, Craig Hodges has been very vocal of late, feeling that the documentary has been one-sided. What's your sort of take on Hodges' opinion?
And I love Craig, and I think that he's gotten a raw deal for the way, you know, after 92, he was basically blackballed from the NBA, and because of how he went to the White House, there's a deep story there that has been told, and if you don't know it, can be told more if you Google it. But I don't agree with everything that Craig said. One of my biggest complaints, Fitz, on our show that I've brought up has been that there's been no secret about the way this story was going to be told. We talked to Jason Hare every Monday after each episode, and I know that Jalen and Jacoby talked to him as well after each episode as well. And the way the story the way they have framed this from the start is this story was not going to be told without Michael Jordan being motivated to wanting to do this. So Michael's brand finally wanted to do it. They were seeking directors. They interviewed Jason Hare and other directors, and the match was with Jason Hare. So this has always been framed as this is the story being told from the greatest athlete in the world's perspective. Is it going to be slanted at times? Yes. Is it going to be only viewed through the lens of Michael? Yes. And I think as long as you know that, I think we're all smart enough to kind of frame our own opinion. And I brought up the petty nature that Michael has. And there will never be a time where I'm like, well, why are they only cover this? We know that this is through Brand Jordan's perspective, and I'm good with it.
We're talking to Waddle and Sylvie's Mark Silverman. Sylvie, on First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. I love that you mentioned some of that because Horace Grant, I mean, I saw one report the other day saying that Michael wouldn't allow Horace to eat after bad games. I mean, did I miss something here on Horace Grant not being a grown-ass man able to do what he wants?
Yeah. No, you have not missed anything. I mean, I was surprised. You know, you brought up the part about, I think out of the three things Craig Hodges brought up, Scottie Pippen being selfish, the cocaine circus comment, and Horace Grant with the Jordan rules, that one surprised me the most. That I'd heard that there's an assistant coach, Johnny Bach, back in the day. I'd heard the rumors about him because I read the Jordan rules right when Sam Smith wrote it. And there was always rumors about who it was. But yeah, you know, Horace was such a vital part to the Bulls. He was brought in with Scottie in the same draft in 87. And without Horace Grant, they don't win anything. But the stuff about whether Michael, you know, they gave Horace food to eat. And I know there was a bad breakup there with him going to Orlando, but yes, Horace Grant is a grown-ass man. Horace Grant was vital to the Bulls winning championships. He was a tough player. He was a blue-collar player. He had faults, too. At times, he wanted more credit than he thought he was getting. So I think that just like many of the great teams in the past, Fitz, who had flaws, who had arguments, the 85 Bears that we lived through here is another good example. As great as they were, all the great championship teams had flaws, and they had sort of this drama going on behind the scenes that none of us really knew about, or maybe some of us did know, and now it's just coming to light.
You've mentioned that this was obviously going to be told through the eyes of Michael Jordan, and we've seen much about Jerry Krause, and he's become a villain to the entire nation that may not have known so much of the story. But Jerry Reinsdorf has managed to stay very clean throughout the course of this documentary so far. What is sort of your take on the way that Jordan has approached Reinsdorf?
You know, he still has a decent relationship with Jerry. He's one of the 30 owners in the league like Jerry. And I think it's totally true what you brought up. I think for whatever reason, whatever Jerry Krause was thinking, that Jerry Krause wanted more credit. He wanted to do it without Michael because he's the only guy that Jerry didn't put into place on the roster. He was inherited. Whether he thought that Phil was getting too big and he wanted Tim Floyd to do it, that Jerry Reinsdorf is the owner. The Jerry Reinsdorf always has the veto power. But Jerry has always given the power to his front office guys. We saw it here, Fitz, for years with John Paxson and Gar Foreman. It took basically 17 years of them only getting to one Eastern Conference Finals before they finally changed the management team. It's the way it runs the White Sox. Ozzie Guillen has been blown out of the White Sox. Frank Thomas had a feud with the White Sox at one point. On and on and out. He always empowers the front office guys, right or wrong. But this is the greatest franchise ever in Chicago with the dynasty, one of the greatest American sports teams ever. And I thought it was always a shame that if Jerry Reinsdorf, not Krause, truly wanted this to go on for a seventh, he could have made this happen.
You guys can follow him on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie. Mark Silverman, Sylvie, check him out on ESPN Chicago. My friend, most importantly, get healthy, be well. We're praying for you over here. And thank you so much for your insight, your expertise, taking a little time with us. Means the world. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah. Keep up the great work, Fitz, and I appreciate the well wishes. Thank you.
Follow him on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie. Love getting the perspective of the guys in Chicago, because no matter how much we talk about it, and I talk about the documentary a lot because I lived that era as a fan. When you talk about living that era in Chicago with people, it's a total different level. And when you talk about the level of insight that Sylvie has getting to cover those teams, that's what we're really seeing here. And that's what's most interesting to me afterwards. Don't forget, when it comes to insurance, State Farm's the real deal with over 19,000 local agents and an award-winning mobile app. You can get help when you need help you need when you need it. Find an agent or get a quote at statefarm.com. I'm going to get help reading. That's what's going to come next for me. All right, coming up, Cowboys, Rams, who's Stephen A. picking? You might be surprised by the answer on that. You'll hear that coming up. Plus, we'll get more of your take on which matchup you're most excited for. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Do not forget the All-In Challenge. Fundraising initiative continues to offer exciting sports experiences you can bid on, or, this is important, enter to win. It's just like a raffle at that point. Don't have to have a ton of money. In fact, $10 buys 10 raffle tickets. It's that easy. And it's all to support organizations providing food to those in need, particularly kids, the elderly, and frontline workers. There's an ultimate span for, try all that again. There's an ultimate sports fan experience closing tonight that is unreal. I don't know if I'm allowed to win this, but my God, I wish. It's a chance to win tickets and travel to 10 different championships, including Game 1 of the World Series, the NBA Finals, and the Stanley Cup, as well as the Masters, the Daytona 500, and more. And it's all for a raffle. I mean, it's that simple to get out there. I've never seen anything like it. It's a great way to get out there and help if you can. Remember, 100%, every single dollar of the money raised from this sweepstakes will benefit organizations providing food to those in need. If you want to participate, if you have the extra money right now and you can afford to give, this is a great way to do it. You can also just learn how these organizations help. All you got to do is visit allinchallenge.com. All right, I want some of your take. Who are you all in on this week or this season? What's the NFL game you're most excited about? Caleb in New Orleans, what do you got? What game are you most excited for?
I'm excited for the Week 15 New Orleans Saints Kansas City game, because pretty much any game that Drew Brees is playing one of the high quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes is going to be good. I know he's also playing Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, which are also going to be good games.
Well, and I love the fact, even though that's a Week 15 game that's a non-conference game, you could say that maybe it wouldn't matter as much. But remember, only one team gets a bye now. So if the Chiefs and the Saints are both in a dogfight for the top overall seed, you're going to have two teams playing late in the season for everything at that point. Austin in Kentucky, what do you got as the NFL game you're most excited about?
What's up, Jason? Thanks for taking my call. Thought I'd bring some Raider love on here. Too many Chiefs fans on the call today. So I started being a Raiders fan as soon as Tom Brady got the tuck rule in his favor, and then we turned around and lost to the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. So I'm definitely looking forward to the Raiders taking down the Buccaneers in Las Vegas this year.
Man, I'm telling you what, I hope that can happen. Obviously, as a Raiders fan, they could put "it was a fumble, not a tuck" on my tombstone, and it wouldn't be inappropriate. Most people would know that that was probably fitting. You guys can keep chiming in. What NFL game are you most excited about? 888-STATE-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. Which game are you most excited about this coming season? ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. So the question is, Cowboys or the Rams? Who you got? Stephen A. and Max had the debate between the Cowboys and the Rams today on First Take.
If you believe you have talent at the head coaching and quarterback spot, you're usually in it. So what do we think of McVay and Goff? I didn't think quite as highly of them as some did. Like, you know, two-thirds of the way through the season 2 years ago, Jared Goff looked like an MVP. And Sean McVay is this genius. And they were probably a little bit overrated at that point. But last year, I think they've, you know, because of last year, they've become underrated. If McVay can't make adjustments now, then what he did year one with all the play action and everything, that's a parlor trick. And now the league caught up to him. I believe he's better than that, and he can make adjustments as a head coach. And I don't think Goff is an MVP, but I also think he's a pretty good quarterback. So I think you start with a really good foundation and a team that had a lot invested in a running back who didn't give them what they needed last year, who's now replaced that piece. Let's not forget 2 years ago, it was the Rams and the Chiefs as the two, oh my God, did you see that kind of teams? I'm expecting the Rams to recapture some of that and upset the Cowboys at home week one.
Well, Max, under most situations, I'd reckon you're right, but not this particular situation, buddy. I'm going to have to go with these Dallas Cowboys. Laura, I know you're laughing at my Southern accent, but I think in this particular instance, as we're discussing this particular topic, it's apropos to sit up there and talk to my Southern friends out there. We all know I love my buddy Jerry Jones. I don't like what he's doing to my guy Dak Prescott. I think Dak Prescott deserved to be treated a hell of a lot better than he has been. But my buddies Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, I reckon that they'll come to the right conclusions at the right time, and I think that they'll right that ship, and I think everything will be just fine. Now let's get into those Cowboys. We're not talking about Cowboy fans now because we know I can't stand them. Those disgusting, nauseating fans, the worst fan base in American history as far as I'm concerned, the delusional bunch that they are. But Jerry Jones is my buddy. My Libra brother. I love that man. And I think that this is going to be a good year for him. You got Dak Prescott. I think he's going to get him back. I think he's going to sign that exclusive franchise tag or reach a long-term agreement before July 15th. Then after that, you still got Amari Cooper. Just gave him $100 million. You still got Michael Gallup. Oh, by the way, CeeDee Lamb is supposed to be a stud. Michael Irvin, a.k.a. the playmaker, came on national television and blessed that man with his number 88. And he says there's obviously ingredients and a requirement that comes with wearing that number. And he has all confidence in the world that CeeDee Lamb can live up to that. Then we got Ezekiel Elliott. Can't forget that dude. It ain't in Cabo this time around. He's going to be there bright and early, ready to go. So we got that going on. You got to believe that the defense is going to improve because can't get much worse than it was at particular junctures last year. Take all those things into consideration. And then you take into account that Southern California weather, the fact that unfortunately the coronavirus pandemic is going on right now, so there ain't going to be a bunch of fans in attendance for them to feed off of. It's going to come down to the talent on that side of the ball in L.A. against the talent in Big D. And as a result of that reality, I'm looking at the Dallas Cowboys having superior talent, opening game of the season, no hostile environment that they'll be walking into, okay? The combination of all those things leads me to believe that my Libra brother Jerry Jones is going to start off 2020 just right. The Dallas Cowboys will knock off the Los Angeles Rams, reminding us that Jared Goff and that $110 million in guaranteed that he received might have been a bit premature on the part of the Los Angeles Rams. Not saying they ain't going to have a good season. Not saying that at all, because I like me some Sean McVay well. But in the end, the bottom line is this game. One of the season, Dallas Cowboys will take it. They'll win that game, and they'll move on from there.
First Take, your take on ESPN News. The one thing that we can't answer yet, and that what makes this so difficult, is when you're talking first games of the season, you're also talking about we don't know how limited the offseason workout programs are going to be. There is an adjustment time for a new coaching staff, and that's why, as Mike Tannenbaum told us in hour one, keep an eye on teams with continuity, not just from coaching, head coaching, but also from coordinators. If there's not a big difference in the offensive and defensive game plans, you have a better chance of sustaining through the early portion of this season. So even though the Cowboys are clearly a better team, will continuity matter in that matchup? ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Got a mini Woj bomb. Want to get everybody updated on a mini Woj bomb. This is the latest. Adrian Wojnarowski, our ESPN senior NBA insider, tweeted about 2 minutes ago a story filed to ESPN. In municipalities where coronavirus testing has become readily available for at-risk healthcare workers, teams opening facilities for voluntary workouts will be allowed to administer COVID-19 tests to asymptomatic players and staff. So, again, in municipalities where coronavirus testing is readily available for at-risk healthcare workers, teams opening facilities for voluntary workouts will be allowed to administer COVID-19 tests to asymptomatic players and staff. This will again speak to one of the biggest challenges that we're going to start to see from the NBA, which is how do you find competitive balance when different municipalities will have different levels of tests, which means different workouts, which means different people in the building. This is going to be, I think, the single greatest challenge the NBA has to figure out is not just when to open up, but how to have any level of competitive balance in the process of getting to where they can open up. That is not an easy solution when every local government is making their own decisions on what they're comfortable with, when testing is different in every spot, and where the level of crisis is different in every spot. That's going to be the biggest challenge Adam Silver has to define, and it's something he hasn't been able to answer as of yet. That's what I'll keep an eye on. That's the latest we got from Woj. We'll keep your take coming on what NFL games you're most excited about. 888-say-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The schedule's out. What are you pumped for? Plus, what went into planning Saturday's UFC 249 event? Dana White joined First Take earlier today to go deep dive on it. You'll hear it next. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, also on ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed the second hour of today's show, we're on from 1 to 3. I don't know what you're doing, but that's okay. You can check it out on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees, no minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. We're asking you, which NFL game are you most excited about? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. There's a bunch of them. I mean, we forget how good this schedule is until you watch the three-hour broadcast, brilliantly done by everybody last night, to get you all stacked and excited for it. So we're going to take your take in just a second. What are you most excited about? But first, a lot of people excited this weekend about UFC 249. Laura Rutledge, the great reporter for us, had the chance to talk to Dana about the precautions they're taking for UFC 249. And Stephen A. chimed in with Max and Dana as they talked about what this will look like this weekend.
Dana, one of the things that a lot of people have been curious about is just how you're going to take the safety precautions with everybody involved here to make sure everybody's safe. And you've been very forthright about that with the testing that you have in place. Just let people know exactly what you're doing with all that, with your fighters and the other people that will be present.
Yeah, obviously there's going to be no crowd here on Saturday night. We've cut the amount of people that are working on the event down over half of what normally works here. And, you know, everybody's being tested, multiple testing, two different types of testing. We're doing everything that we can to make sure that this event is as safe as possible. Nothing is ever 100% guaranteed, but health and safety is something that we worry about every weekend that we put on an event, not just because of COVID-19.
Dana, forgive me for asking this question, but I remember last time you were on our show, we were expecting a fight in a matter of days. And ultimately, it was canceled. We don't have that to worry about this time around, do we? Because I can't wait for this fight. We're looking forward to this. You don't anticipate any hiccups whatsoever, right? We're going to have this fight tomorrow night, right?
There are always hiccups. But as of right here, right now, everything has gone very smoothly. This fight will not be canceled. But you never know what can happen. Anything is possible until those guys get into the octagon. But as of right now, everything has been very smooth here. Everybody is healthy. Everybody is ready to go. Dance. The governor is on board. The mayor is on board. The state athletic commission is on board. We're good to go.
How do you think your idea and the way you've executed this can export to different sports? Would it work for the NFL in the near future or Major League Baseball? Would it work for NBA? Would it only work for boxing or golf or one-on-one sports like that? What do you think about that?
Here's the first and foremost, it's expensive, okay? You have to be willing to spend the money, number one. Number two, you have to be willing to go without a gate, which is, again, very expensive. Who's willing to go without a gate? You know, some of these football, you know, teams have, you know, 65, 70,000 seat arenas. Are you willing to go with no fans? Everything has a solution. Everything can be done safely if you're willing to spend the money.
First Take, your take on ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Dana White saying some strong comments there, but also remember one thing. Every single sport is looking at the UFC now as the testing ground, as the guinea pig. right? Somebody's going to be first back to market. So UFC coming back first is at least giving everybody a guideline, an outline of what to see, what to expect, and what can happen in very limited situations. Now, how does that apply to Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NFL? I don't know. But you can bet your butt that the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NFL are watching it to see how it can apply, and they should be. Somebody's going to be first back. If the UFC event can go off with no struggles, no hassles, and no outbreak as a result, I believe you will see other sports look at it and try and copycat as much as they can to figure out how they can get back. By the way, if you're missing baseball, tune in tomorrow night for an MLB Classic Game 3 of the 2018 World Series between the Dodgers and Red Sox, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We've been asking you guys, what NFL game are you most excited about? Let's go to Justin in New York. Justin, what's your take? What are you most pumped for?
I'm most pumped for week 14 when the New York Giants face the Cleveland Browns with OBJ on their team.
Is that why you're really excited for it, to see Odell Beckham Jr. take on the Giants?
Yeah.
All right, Justin, how old are you, buddy?
I'm 10 years old.
You rock. Thank you for calling the show. Call in anytime with your take, okay?
All right.
That's awesome. Justin, look, I'm a sucker for kids that call into sports talk shows. I'll admit that all day long. And that's going to be a big game. He's right about that. First Take is going to spend all week leading up to that game, blowing it up. You know I'm telling you the truth. Thomas, in Tennessee, what do you got? What game are you most pumped for?
Hey, Fitz, I'm looking forward to any and every damn one of them.
Oh, man, just need football back, right, Thomas?
I just miss sports right now so bad. I'll watch anything.
Do you have a favorite team that you're going to be watching this fall?
Oh, yeah, I've been a Cowboys fan ever since I could walk.
Well, look at that, Thomas. All right, thanks for your take on it. You're right. We're all looking for every single one of them. But, man, I'm telling you, the Cowboys, a lot of talent. You're going to have a fun year to watch. Eddie in Wisconsin, what game are you most excited about?
Well, every 49ers game. And I say this with all due respect to you and to Will Cain and to everybody else who says numbers and history haven't favored Super Bowl contenders. I think it was you. I don't remember when it was. It was a few weeks ago where you see a potential drop-off by the 49ers. And me, being excited as how our season turned out last year, I see potential. I want them to do well. I want them to come in, and I want them to destroy the Cardinals in week one and work their way through the season, beating the Cowboys week 15, stuff like that. But it's just an opportunity to just prove all the skeptics wrong.
Well, look, I would love nothing more than for the 49ers to go out and crush. It's good with me, but you're right. I mean, for me, it's a little like Charlie Brown running up to the football. A couple of years ago, I came into the offseason and said, my God, the Jags defense is so good, they're going to be fine. Then last year, I came into the season saying, but the Bears defense is so good, they're going to be just fine. And both of those teams took a step back. So I'm cautious when it comes to the 49ers, because recent history shows us that these defensive teams don't necessarily have the same success win and loss wise the following year. It's my only concern. Jimmy G is who he is. My concern is, can the defense be replicated? Thanks for listening to First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz.